Okay, had a nice lunch. If you didn't get enough to eat, that's your fault. Okay? We will have a Bible study this afternoon. I have something in mind. But Bob Honeycutt gave me a couple things here that are very interesting. We have the psalm which says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And since most people don't know where the modern 10 tribes of Israel are, they mistakenly conclude it's because of their initiative and their ability that they do things. Now, United States of America is a little different. And I think we can safely say that we are probably in the main when the country was started and developed from the tribe of Manasseh. And I think that God has added different ones from all of the 10 tribes to be within the United States of America. And I believe that in this time, let me ring my bell, okay, that Ephraim, who is the United Kingdom, has gotten so exalted in their royal setup that even the loss of the empire and the loss of the commonwealth has really not brought them to the senses that they would turn to God. And because of that, the preaching of the gospel is found almost exclusively in America. Because nowhere else in the world is the gospel being preached in very much of a manner that it is known publicly. And so I think that has the responsibility has passed from Ephraim to Manasseh. And remember, Manasseh was the firstborn. Thank you. Are you the firstborn? You were born. I would hope so.
48 years ago.
Thank you. And also, when you... Now, I have one suggestion for Mitt Romney. What he needs to say is, the founders of America were inspired by God because of the promise to Abraham, which he probably doesn't know, to raise up this nation and to separate it from a kingship, because the throne resides with Ephraim. And yet we had the word of God, and we decided to invite the Creator into the formation of our government. Now, even though you're not called to salvation, and even though you may not be a recipient of the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whenever anyone brings God into their agreement, God is going to hold them responsible for what they agreed to do. Okay? Otherwise, you're taking God's name in vain. So what he should say is this: the founders of this country established the United States of America to separate itself from the European form of government and the European form of taxation, and we were founded on the principle of no taxation without representation. Now, that's about the strongest that they could get without bringing in the Bible. And today people think we're all educated. Well, the truth is we're stupid because we're not taught. Those who put together the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were very well educated. They understood the Catholic system, oppression. They understood the kingship, oppression. And they knew that if the people were educated, that they should govern themselves and have representative collective organization so that the whole community and nation would function properly. So if you've never read the Federalist Papers, how many have read the Federalist Papers? Good number. Okay. If you're on the internet, download them. Okay. All right. So here's what Alexander Fraser Tytler in 1776 wrote. See, because they had the example of Greece, of Rome, of Europe. They didn't want a kingship. They want a representative, limited government by the consent of the governed. But you see, when you take away the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Bible from the public, dictators can take over. When you have an educational system that doesn't teach the true history, which I gave was the shortest summary I could, and why the nation was founded, and it was founded to honor God's blessing. It was founded so that people could worship God, and there would be no state religion, and that it was to be a representative democracy, which was more like what you would find, a representative republic, which is more like you would find in the Old Testament with the tribes and the head of the tribes and, you know, the elders of the tribe and so forth. So here's what he wrote. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. Never can. See, people must agree with each other as long as they are in agreement with God. That's a key thing. Otherwise, you have no standard. Otherwise, you end up doing what ancient Israel did, that everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes, and so therefore they needed a king. And so God told Samuel, they want a king. Don't be upset. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. But God said, nevertheless, even if you have yourself a king, if you keep my commandments, I will still be with you. But if you don't keep my commandments, I will not be with you. And so this is what has been taken from this nation. Now, granted, they weren't called unto salvation. That's not the question. A nation and the physical blessings from Abraham is not dependent upon conversion. It's dependent upon the covenant that God made with Abraham. And it's not dependent upon the fact that we, as a people, are righteous of ourselves. However, as long as they had the Word of God and taught the Word of God and taught the basic things out of the Bible in a letter of the law, carnal sense, God's blessing would be with the nation. Okay? And it was not a pure democracy. Continuing. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse, which then is the entitlement generation. And our current lawless president is paying off everybody he can to get reelected because he has his agenda, which is going to destroy this nation because this nation has forgotten God. And he becomes the punishment. And his system becomes the oppressive enforcement because the nation has rejected God. And it started in the pulpits. And it started when the Sunday keepers had plenty of witnesses. And this was back in 1893. That's why we have in the Bible Rome's challenge to the Protestants. There's a reason why this Bible is designed the way it is. It is to fully establish that the Word of God has nothing to do with Sunday keeping, has nothing to do with Protestantism, has nothing to do with the holidays of this world or Rome. Because when they founded the nation, even though they were Protestants, there were still a lot of Sabbath keepers among them, and their desire was to get away from Rome and get away from the arbitrary oppression of kings. That's why they limited terms. Stop and think for just a minute. How do you suppose that Judah was after 50 years, 55 years rather, of King Manasseh? Now we have so many people receiving largesse from the public. What does the Bible say if you refuse to work? Shall not eat. Oh, that's cruel. No, that means that you need to get out and do something. Yes, other people can help you. Yes, it may need a community thing to do so. But you can't take it from the government. Okay? From that moment on, the majority always votes for candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury in cahoots with the unions. No. With the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by dictatorship. How many heard of William Soul? If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, you hear him once in a while. You know what he said that has to happen if Obama is reelected? He said it. A lot of people have thought of it. He said, we may need a military coup. And I don't think we understand how absolutely disastrous this coming financial tsunami is going to be. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. Northern tribes of Israel, 232 years. These nations have progressed through the sequence from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Let's come to 2 Timothy, please. Now you see, the best government is the government of God with His Spirit in you. Now we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. So you need to think about all of these things and what's going to happen. And I don't think that the people really understand, once a nation gets so bad, what kind of reform is really needed. So you stop and think about what kind of reform is needed. And it should start with the Supreme Court. Okay? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Is that true? Yes, indeed. Here's why. For men shall be lovers of self, not God. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Then what follows with that? Unnatural affection. That means brutality, homosexuality, animal cruelty, implacable. That means you can't reason with them at all. And these are the ones who should have been executed instead of put in prison for life. Slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And don't we have the pleasures today? Yes, we do. How many sports things do we have? From every level in society, correct? Yes, indeed. How much entertainment do we have? And you look at the television that they put out that most people watch, it produces evil. Have you noticed how even the commercials are getting more cartoonish instead of real people? Why? Because we have a moronic society teethed on cartoons, babysat by television. Okay? So we're going back in bondage. Now, here's from Abraham Lincoln. All of these things are biblical truths expressed in different language. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. What did Jesus say about the poor? You always have the poor with you. Okay? You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong, because there's no one to help. You cannot bring prosperity by discouraging thrift. You cannot lift the wage earner up by pulling the wage payer down. You cannot further the brotherhood of man by inciting class hatred. You cannot build character and courage by taking away people's initiative and dependence. You cannot help people permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. Abraham Lincoln. Not true? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's absolutely true. Okay. Now, likewise, we have with the churches of the world, and we have the churches of God. That's why when I talk about tithes and offerings, I talk about reciprocity, okay? Which is this: freely give so that people can freely receive. And those who freely receive should then freely give back of their tithes and offerings so that you have a multiplier effect of reaching out to people. And then once you have that, then you have got to have those who manage the funds not get carried away with luxury and expensive things and wasting what people send in. See? Look at the government today. That's exactly what's happening. You watch the news. Here's a scandal, another $6 million wasted by this agency. You know, another $500 million wasted by this giveaway program. And there's Uncle Ben Bernanke printing money as fast as he can. And did you realize that all of the debt securities for the deficit spending, the Federal Reserve has been buying themselves? Now, that whole system of Federal Reserve is absolutely satanic. And it is an independent international banking corporation whose origin go back to the bankers in Europe. They have so many debt instruments. Now, how many? Let me just ask a question. I know some of you may hold some stocks and bonds. Do you have the original stock and bond, or do you have a statement of ownership and beneficial use? The latter. Who holds all the original stocks and bonds? The Depository Trust Company, owned by the Federal Reserve. Now, you probably heard me say this before, but I'll mention it again, which is this. When a bank has a debt or mortgage or security, that is counted as an asset. All assets then are counted as reserve to loan money. And if they have a ratio of lending money of keeping 10% in reserve and loaning out the 90%, and then what happens? The 90% comes back into the bank as a deposit, and that becomes another asset on which to lend. This is called marginal lending. And some banks have gotten to the point that they're down to less than 5% in reserve. Okay? Now, taking all the assets of the Federal Reserve Bank, based on that formula, they have the ability to create loans to the tune of $4.5 quadrillion. And all of that is building up to a big collapse. And they want it to collapse. Now, I hope many of you have been taking care of yourself financially while not neglecting God. But, like one man said, well, I heard you say buy some gold and silver. He said, well, I don't make much money. I said, well, can you afford, and at that time, I said $16 a week. Said, yeah. I said, well, you do this. You run down to the local coin shop and you buy every week one silver dollar for $16. Now, since I said that some years ago, if he would have done that, he would have probably had over 2,000 coins. Now it's up to $34 a coin. So on that $16, like it says thrift here, he would have the equivalent of $60,000 hard, cold, heavy, silver cash. Now that's being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. See? But some people in the church will say, well, they're going to throw their gold and silver to the, you know, out to the moles and the bats. Well, that's when the tribulation starts. What are you going to do between now and the tribulation if there's financial collapse? See, those things need to consider. Okay. So you need to be ready. Have some food. And I know Dave Wheeler keeps telling us, you got to have water. Gotta have water. Now, I saw a special. Isn't it interesting? All of the warnings that everybody's getting, but no one is paying attention to it. Every movie that comes out is a disaster movie and the end of the world. Hello? Everything has to do with fighting and warring and famine and death and destruction. Hello? See? And yet nobody's doing anything. Listen, most people aren't going to do anything, and they're going to run down to their supermarket, and they're going to find there's a mob. And they're going to find, unless you have some hard, cold cash, you ain't even getting in the door. So we're looking at some pretty tough times, brethren. And I don't say this to frighten you, because there aren't words adequate in my vocabulary to frighten you to the point that you're going to be frightened when the event occurs. See, you never know what it's going to be, falling off a cliff by someone describing it, until you get to the cliff and you're falling off. So don't wait for the experience to hit you before you have some kind of preparation. Even if it's a meager amount, do whatever meager amount you can. And when the state runs out of money, as I've said before, and they're already doing it in California, they're releasing prisoners from the penitentiaries. Oh, those who have minor infractions. But what do you do when they get up to the hardened criminals that are in there for life, and there's no longer any money to feed them, and they're there rioting, banging on the bars? All the guards are scared to death. You know what they're going to do? They're going to run into the electrical control room, throw all the switches, and run as fast as they can to get out of there before the prisoners get them and kill them. And then what are they going to do? They're going to stalk the land, looking for food, looking for money, and if you don't have it, you're histoire. That's why we need Psalm 91, protection from God. See? So don't say, oh, you know, I'm trying to scare you. I can't scare you sufficiently in any manner. See, I'm just saying, we have got to follow the advice of Proverbs, go to the ant, sluggard, and see that without an overseer, they lay up store for the winter. See? All right, because all of this is going to come down on us. So here we have. Here we have this. There are many other things, too. Many other things we don't even know about. How many have heard of the 272 free trade zones in America that the United States government has set up? Let me go back one step further. How many understand that there are two United States of America? One was the United States of America that was founded. The other is the Corporation of the United States of America, founded during the Depression to borrow money so they could pledge the public lands. You hear the good faith and credit of the U.S.? Okay. One of the plans they have are setting up these 272 trade zones. There's going, go online, look these up. It's all online. If you're online, start looking these things up. The Chinese are investing in Toledo so much that they almost own the whole place. And they're going to build a city south of Boise, Idaho, for 22,000 total Chinese city. Now, being a free trade zone, they can bring anything they want to into that trade zone without passing customs. You don't suppose they might bring in weapons, would you? You don't suppose that if other nations also took advantage of that, that there would be an army within us to take down this whole nation? How many men does it take to shut down a freeway? Well, if you have 272 of those cities, and they have enough explosives, and they go out and blow up as many freeways as they can, no commerce, no trade, no food, no water, no gasoline, no electricity. And who's going to stop them from marching into the towns and villages, plundering and looting and killing? You ought to read the Book of Lamentations, what God did to Jerusalem, where he put his name. That's a very, very difficult book to read. And the things that are going to come upon this nation, we'll see it first in England. When you see it there, and the Muslims have said, you Brits, you get Sharia law into your system or we're going to take over. See, when God says, because we've turned our backs on him, that we have denied him, and the behavior of our nation is lawless, drug-filled, sex-filled, pleasure-filled, and then you have all of these false prophets and ministers and false teachings and everything like that, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be something. Remember this. Now, I saw a special. It's interesting they had the special on there. It was talking about disaster survival. And the first thing they said, you can live about 30 days without food, but you can't live much longer than 3 or 4 days without water. Do we need food and water? Yes, indeed. See, that's why, brethren, we need to really draw close to God. We really need to take into consideration all the things that God says we need to do. You know, too many of us in the Church of God have played church for so long, we don't know what it really is to obey God, and we really don't know what it is to be zealous for God. Now, just like today, we ate, we're full, we're happy, we're thankful, God has provided it. But we cannot depend that this kind of thing will continue without interruption. See? We need to understand that. That's why we need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. And all the churches of God need to quit their stupid church wars. Okay? Every church of God should do what it should do before God to honor God. God doesn't want one big amalgamated organization ever again. But all of us everywhere doing what we need to do, God will help us. God will be with us. But we cannot go back to the stupidity that reigned in the Church of God and brought its destruction, and everyone sitting lamenting, oh, I wished it were like it was back then. Really? See, the problem is the ministers lied to you, didn't tell you the truth. I was in California right at the place where all these things were going on at the headquarters, and I knew what was going on. Some of you were there, and you knew what was going on. See? But did God correct it? Yes. Did he take care of it? Yes. Did he eliminate it? Yes. Now, we can't be like the silly Jews, hoping that Nebuchadnezzar would bring back the implements of the temple. That was a false hope. We have to be realistic. If we love God and serve Him, let's be thankful that we can do as God said to the Jews who went to Babylon, you go to Babylon and I'll make you a low vine and I will preserve you and I will watch over you. Remember, it was the tall cedar tree? God cut it down. And I think we need to understand with the brethren, now this is not a matter of being angry, this is just a matter of being sincerely concerned for them. See? We love the brethren in the other churches. Doesn't matter what they say about me. That isn't going to bother me. Everything that matters is how we stand before God. Do we love God? Do we love each other? Do we really believe God? Do we have a relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ? See, that's what it's all about. The day of coming to church on the Sabbath and you've done, you know, done your work is over. And it's like one man said, God is with me while I sleep, and then when I wake up, I'm on my own. God doesn't have anything to do with them. Okay? No, none of those things work. Now, I want to shift gears here. I want to talk a little bit about church government. Since I've almost gone 45 minutes, I'll stop and we'll take a break.